Hello, everybody. It's me, Sean, and I'm back for the second episode of Sean Hammer. God, I love that song. Anyway, as promised, this week I'm bringing to you an in-depth army book review of Warriors of Chaos. I know I did say we were going to go into Space Wolf rumors, but I'm not going to really worry about it. I'm getting the codex for that book coming up on Tuesday, so I figured we'd just do an army review on Tuesday for Space Wolves. So let's go ahead and let's see what we did this week for Warhammer. Me, myself, I bought a couple Skaven models, looking forward to the new Skaven release. My beautiful wife, she likes the Ratmen, she likes rats, and, well, heck, I figured it's an army we could work together with. And, they're pretty cool. I bought two, what are they? They are Gutter Runners, and I bought a unit of Pack Rats, I guess is what I would call them. Started painting them. Pretty excited. It's been a while since I painted anything in the Warhammer world. Not too shabby at it either. But it's kind of giving me back into the hobby a little bit more. Give me something new to paint and everything. And enjoying myself. I have this week off of work, so hopefully I'll be able to get a little bit more painted. Have a little bit more fun. Other things this week, not really Warhammer related. I've been addicted to this Final Fantasy Dissidia game for the PSP. Great game. It takes a bit to get used to. It's similar to Crisis Core, but it's a fighting game. And supposedly you have to go through a lot of crap before you can open up Sephiroth. So I'm looking forward to that. There I go with the ums again, people. I'm sorry. I'm not going to edit this out. This is how I talk, and, well, I'm sorry. Anyway, I've been addicted to Star Wars miniature game as well, and I bought 20 booster packs of the Clone Wars set. I got a few pieces that I wanted. It is a fun game. That is true. It gets a little taken used to because you're playing just on a flat 2D map and everything, but you get to play with Star Wars guys. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so that is feeding into a little bit of my addiction. And speaking of addictions, I got some new Zendikar magic cards. Yes, I'm also a magic geek. So pretty much I've been all over this week. And just trying to figure out why the heck iTunes hates me so much. I'm trying to post episode 1 on iTunes right now. And probably by the time this one gets posted on iTunes, episode 1 and 2 will be on there, and I'll be recording 3. The weather here in Michigan sucks behind the way that usually does. You can never tell what it's going to do at any given time. I'm also a soccer coach, and we've played two games this week in the rain, and half my players basically have pneumonia because they play in the rain. And that's pretty much been my week, except for working, and just want to fill you guys in exactly what goes in a week in my chaotic head here. Well, anyway, let's get started with the Warriors of Chaos. There's been a lot of talk and army reviews and army comp scores against Chaos and everything in the tournament scenes, independent tournament scenes and stuff, especially overseas. Everyone's playing what's called the Gateway List, and it's a whole bunch of Tezzeni sorcerers with the spell Gateway, Doom Puppet, or I think it's Doom Puppet, we'll get over there. It's a horrible spell. Basically, can poof, make somebody go away and everything. Well, I've been hearing a lot of bad things about Chaos if you're not playing the Gateway Army List. So I decided, hey, I got this friend Cheese. And I was just like, Cheese, you got the Warriors Chaos book, don't you? He's like, yeah, sure. Sure, Sean, you want to borrow it? I was like, yeah, I would. Well, anyway, I get this book, and I'm looking through. I'm expecting to see a bunch of crap. Because no one plays regular Chaos, and I'm just thinking to myself, holy hell on a buttermilk biscuit, this freaking book is good. I can see where people go through when they pick out the whole gateway thing, because it is overpowering. It's overpowered. Anyway, but it's a beautiful book. I mean, as for Immortal List, it's not shabby. There's a lot of good elements to the army list. And we'll go over them right now. First and foremost, Chaos has a rule called the Eye of the Gods. Basically, is when a Chaos hero kills another hero in combat, they get a roll on this Gift of the Gods table. 2d6, 2 through 12, apparently, you get bonuses to your guy who's basically favored by the gods, and they can go crazy, they can get unholy resistance, they can get slaughter or strength. I mean, they get everything from plus attacks, plus one strength, going insane, magic resistance 3, divine greatness is the favored one, and that's the top one, this is the cool one, favor the pleased patron, and they bestow him the glory of Chaos, and he becomes stubborn as a 4+ ward save. It's not too shabby. Ward saves, especially 4+, or if you didn't take one through a magic item, and it's pretty good thing. Let's go on to core choices. I'm saying again. Now let's just go through the book. I don't know if they're going to fall in a core or not. Chaos Marauders. You're basically, these are your weaker Chaos guys. Not bad strength. Bad stats. Movement 4, Weapon Skill 4, BS3, which I don't know what I have a BS. I guess some of them, as we can see, can have javelins on horses. Toughness 3, 1 attack. Not too bad. They get the Will of the Chaos. Will of Chaos, which basically allows them to reroll panic tests. That is, in itself, I think that's an army-wide rule, and that's not a bad thing to have. Chaos Marauders Naked are going to cost you... I got a sinus infection. They're pretty cheap, and they're going to run, I think, 4 points apiece. I mean, that's sickening. I mean, you got people that sit in there and say, oh, you know, Chaos Marauders, they suck. But, you know, 4 points, they can have flails, they can have shields and light armor. And for a meager amount of points, so you can boost one up to about 6 points apiece. Not that bad for for a basic standard strength, toughness, core choice with a universal special rule. And plus, the unit can take a Mark of the Gods. Mark of the Gods we'll get to in a little bit after I go through all the army list. Next is, of course, Chaos Warriors. A little bit more pricey. 15 points a model. There's not much you can do with them except for give them halberds or great weapons or additional hand weapons or shields. I mean, they got a little bit of flexibility, but let's start with the fact that they have inscrolled weapons, so they get a better plus. They have Chaos Armor. They have the Will of the Gods special rule, and then themselves, they can take a Mark of the Gods, benefiting, as we'll see later, with a Strength 4, Toughness 4, and 2 attacks with a Weapon Skill 5. Not bad for 15 points apiece. I'll take that any day over top of my Grave Guard, because I do play Undead. Chaos Warhounds. Next choice. 6 points model. Movement 7. Weapon Skill 4. Strength 3. Toughness 3. Not that great. He's fast cav, but you can't. They do hit. You can boost them up for poison attacks. And they have Will of Chaos as well. Like I mentioned, as an army-wide special rule. Marauder Horsemen. These are the ones that kind of caught my eye. My problem is I'll pick up these army books, and I want to do this army. I'll tell myself, well, I can make up a 1,250-point army list. And up until basically a year and a half ago, I didn't really care about 1,250, but then I played in a tournament. I actually did well. I did great. I did first place, didn't lose a game, and I won painting. But, 1250 allows you, you're not worried about, it is much more fair roundabout play to it. I can honestly see why people do 1250 tournaments now. And so I tell myself, whenever I see something cool, I'm going to go make a 1250 point army list, so that way I'm not investing a lot of money into this. And when all said and done, you know, it's easy, over $100 I spend on this list. And I've done it a couple times with Bretonians, Dark Elves, Skaven I'm working on, and possibly I was thinking about Warriors of Chaos because I want to do a Viking themed army. I'm horribly addicted to the whole Viking thing, Viking history. That's what you'll see me all giddy and excited when the Space Wolf Codex comes out next week. But Marauder Horsemen, beautiful models, 13 points apiece, fast cavalry. They have horse lords. I think that's a re-rolling, something to do with them. Here I am, I don't even know the rules. I'm going to walk you through the army book. I forgot it. Horse lords, we're getting to it right now. May re-roll the dice to see whether distance they move for any pursuit rolls. I knew that. I was going to say fling, though. 15 points piece, beautiful models. A lot better looking than any of the old style Marauder pieces you ever see. Basic stats for the Marauders as before, but they're on horses. They can have the Mark of the Gods, and they can get throwing spears, count as javelins for 1 point apiece. Not that bad for an army that basically doesn't have a lot of, or any shooting attacks. That's it for the core. It's a nice strong core list. A lot of people are just going to take the Chaos Warriors because they are their tits, man. That's all I got to say. But if you want to do a nice Viking list, Marauders, you could try with that. I got a buddy, Lynn, who's in North Carolina, has tried a Marauder list. Didn't work out very well for him for the last army book, but hopefully this one goes a little bit better for him. I think he'll like this. Special is Chosen, 18 points. Not too much stat-wise difference than a the Chaos Warriors. They get Chosen of the Dark Gods. They get, you know, champion standard upgrades. They get the Will of Chaos as well as everything else, and they can have a mark of their chosen deity. But the Chosen and Dark Gods are marked by the Dark Gods themselves. In the beginning of the battle, they roll on the Eye of the Gods table, and they ignore the Eyes Closed or Insanity result, and they gain a troop-wide special ability that they roll on the table, which could be, you know, like the extra attack, toughness, strength, I think magic resistance, ward save, all that. Not too bad. 3 points more than a Chaos Warrior, so. Next one's is Forsaken. Stat-wise, about the same. 18 points a model, except until we get to the attacks. They have a D3 plus one attack. Leadership 8. Because they have claws of mutants, appendages, heavy armor. They frenzy and have berserker rage with the will of the gods. They cannot have a command group. And I think they'd be a little bit better if they were skirmish, but I'm not going to get into that. I think Games Workshop's getting rid of a lot of skirmish units that could be fun in the games. Next choice is the Almighty Chaos Chariot. It's not going anywhere, folks. It's going to stay here. Basic rules for a chariot. Hellbirds, skies, they can have a Mark of the Gods. They get the Will of Chaos as well. Basically, Chaos Warriors on a chariot. Everyone knows what they do. Not too bad. You can put a character on it. Next is Ogres. Ogres, basic stats of every other ogre in the entire galaxy. Weapons go 3, strength 4, toughness 4, 3 wounds, 3 attacks. You have a mutant ogre, which is basically the boss, giving him 4 attacks. They cause fear, have will of the gods, can have a mark of their god, and they can have a command group. Next up on the list is Dragon Ogres. These are ones that I thought about. I don't know. But I like different stuff, and you're not going to get much different than Dragon Ogres. 65 points apiece, though. 4 wounds, strength 5, toughness 4, weapon skill 4, movement 7, 3 attacks. They can have a champion. They can have an Additional hand weapons, great weapons. You can up. No, they have Will of Chaos, Scaly Skin plus 5, Fear, and Storm Rage, which allows you, if they get affected by lightning and stuff, to get bonuses. Not too shabby. A little bit pricey, 65 points a piece, so I'm not 100% sure. I'd probably go with the next selection I'm going to go over is Trolls. For one, these models look awesome. Two, they fit a little bit in my Viking theme. Going to use them kind of like the, you know, the Grendel from Beowulf and stuff. I don't know. Strength 5, Toughness 4, 3 wounds, 3 attacks. You know, they got very bad breath, has a hand weapon, spikes, blades. But their special rules are Will of Chaos, Mutant Regeneration, Stupidity, Fear, and Troll Vomit. Not that bad for a better troop, I think, roundabout, than the Ogres. That's my opinion, though, so don't quote me on it, and don't email me and say, hey, Sean, you know, Ogres are better in this instance and stuff like that. You do realize that I play this game for fun, and a lot of everything I pick doesn't make sense to people because I just pick it on looks. Because if you don't like to paint it, you don't like the way it looks, why play it, you know? So, but these Trolls look awesome. I'm just going to lay it out that. And everyone's favorite special choice, the Chaos Knights. I would just love to see a Chaos Army out there that's not running any of these bad guys. I apologize to the Chaos Warriors. They do not have inscrolled weapons like the Chaos Knights do. They have Chaos Armor, Shield, Bardic Chaos Steed, can have a God. Standard up to 50 points. Lances, blah, 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 your typical knights. Two attacks, three from the champion. I think Mark of Khorne gives them a frenzy, so that's a popular favorite. Strength 4, toughness 4, 40 points apiece. I mean, come on, only thing higher than that. Well, besides, forget it. The ogre on that thing is probably the Blood Knights. I think they're ranging about 50. I don't play them too much to really get the points down 100%. Now we're on the rares. Of course, we have the Almighty Chaos Spawn. 55 points for a 2d6 movement, 3 weapon skill, toughness 5, 3 wounds, 4 strength, d6 plus 1 attack, and leadership 10. Causing fear, it's unbreakable, lurching horror, and failing appendages. Plus, it can have a Mark of the Gods. Not so shabby, I guess, since it's a rare choice, and there's... This is where I fall in the confusion with the rare, what I take. But, yeah, that's that. Next is a Chaos War Shrine. This is pretty interesting. This is probably what I was going to run in my Viking army. It's a basically a Palanquin War Shrine. Kind of has the effects of close to the Cauldron of Blood, I believe. Strength 6, 4 wounds, initiative 5, attack 5, leadership 8, weapon skill 5. Can have a Mark of the Gods. And it has an armor save of 4+. Also has a 4+ ward save, has the Will of the Gods, and it's got Giver of Glory, which hands out benefits from the table from earlier. Not too shabby. Give you something to make for your army to specialize and stuff, and that nice little centerpiece. Next we have the Hell Cannon. I don't know how I feel about the Hell Cannon. I really think they should just release the Chaos Dwarfs and just say, you know, we're putting the Hell Cannon or the Earthshaker Cannon back into the Chaos Dwarfs, and Chaos can go screw themselves. But hey, everyone knows it's a living cannon. It's pretty much got the same stats as it does from the Storm of Chaos, I think is what it was called. Book is a causes terror, large target, unbreakable. It's a living cannon, so it's got rampage, doomfire. It's got bound demon in it. Unit strength 5. So I guess not too shabby. If you worst comes to worst, it does lurch forward. Could take out ranks if you happen to get inside of something, but very rare would you see that. Next, speaking of rare, is the Dragon Ogre Shaggoth. Probably one of the coolest models that Games Workshop's made, in my opinion. 265 points, though, so if you're looking at something to eat up some points because you don't want to paint smaller units, this would be it. Wound 6. Definitely something to take away rank bonuses. Toughness 5, Strength 6, Weapon Skill 6, 5 attacks, Leadership 9. Not too shabby. It's got light armor and hand weapon. Not bad at all either. not including the fact it's got scaly skin, so your light armor is on top of that. He is immune to psychology, his large target causes terror, and his storm rage. I like this piece, everyone. I think everyone's seen it in the White Dwarf when they had a painting competition a year or two ago back when they were painting of the different gods and everything. I like this model. I'm going to suggest if you like it and you think about running Chaos, go with it. It's a nice strong unit or creature. Next is the Giant. I used to think Giants sucked, but then they put out that new plastic kit. Then they gave them, you know, the whole stubborn effect with Leadership 10. And that just boosted the Giant right up there. He's got his whole special attack still. He is a wound 6, so he can there take out ranks as well. Large target terror. He falls over. He's got the long shanks. I think it adds the falling over thing, I think. And plus the Chaos Giant can have Mark of the Gods. I mean, come on. It is Chaos for crying out loud. That's pretty much it for the regular army. For Lords, of course, we have the special characters, which the special characters have a little bit of uniqueness to them, but no one plays them too much. But some of them are nice. I do like Prince Sigval the Magnificent. This vain guy. He's a cool looking model. I like the fact that he's got supreme vanity, so he could become stupid because he's looking at himself in the mirror. I like him. He reminds me of Prince Charming off of Shrek, actually. But anyway, let's get off of that. The one I like to put out there, though, that I would love to see the model for is Valkia the Bloody. She is a female basic demon prince of Khorne, and from the picture, if they do the model justice to the picture, she's going to be a fantastic model. And I don't know why I'm going to own her, but I will. But as for Lords, we have but a wound. Cast Lord at reigning in at 210 points with 5 attacks. Yeah, 5 attacks. 5 strength, 5 toughness, weapons equal 8, and leadership 9. Not bad. He will benefit from the Eye of the Gods table as well as Will of Chaos. He can have a whole bunch of nastiness, be mounted on a Juggernaut of Khorne, have Harlequin and Nurgle, such and such. Your standard murderer, you can boost him up pretty dang good. He can have Gifts of Chaos, 50 points in those, plus 100 points of magic items. And we're playing with vampires, that bonus of extra powers on top of your magic items, it's a beautiful thing to play with. I mean, it's just like having a kid run around in a candy store trying to figure out what you want to be on your Chaos Lord, or vampire for that matter. So, have fun with that, boys and girls. Next is the Sorcerer Lord. As far as Sorcerer's Gold, this guy's stacked. He's running around with Chaos Armor, Weapon Skill 5, Strength 4, and 3 attacks. Not better than most of everybody else's Sorcerers. He can have Mark of the God, be mounted on a lot of things that the lore can be, including Manticore, Demonic Mount, Chariot, Chaos Steed, and Dragon. He can have 50 points of Chaos Gifts, and that's about it. He should be able to have magic items. I'm not seeing it here. Oh, there it is. Right above it. 100 points. Same as the Lord. Last and not least, we have the Demon Prince. I'm kind of confused. I thought he'd be in the Demon Army, but I guess I can understand this is what humans become when they get the favor of the gods. We're talking about 4 wounds here, so we're not looking at a big creature to break ranks or nothing. 5 attacks, weapon skill 8, strength 5, toughness 5. Let's see. He's Terror, Fly, and Stubborn, Will of Chaos, Unit Strength 3, there it is, Scion of Chaos, which is as pluses or something. Can also have any of the Mark of Khorne's and have Chaos Gifts, not magic items, up to 100 points. Not bad. The models they have in here are cool. So, I mean, if you want one, run with it. If I do the Viking-themed army, I'm not going to go that route, but I'm not talking anyone out of it. For heroes, we have... We'll go to special characters first, and I like to just say that Wolfric the Wanderer is a beautiful looking model. He's got cool little stats where he hunts other people. He's a hunter of men. He's got Gift of Tongues, Eye of the Gods, Will of Chaos. It's a nice, solid model. 4 attacks. Strength 5, Toughness 4. I like him as for model. I'm probably going to own him, but never run him as the special character. But for regular heroes, we have Chaos Sorcerer. Basically, a baby version of the Sorcerer Lord. Stats not too shabby, or not too different from the other one, except for 2 attacks instead. Chaos Gifts up to 25 points, and Magic Items up to 50. The standard 50 point to 100 point from Lord to regular Sorcerer and the Magic Items. Then we have the Exalted Hero, which is basically the younger brother of the Chaos Lord himself. Leadership 8, same rules as the Chaos Lord. It can be the Army Standard Bearer for 25 points, though. And like I said, with Sorcerer Hero, he is 50 points Magic Items and 25 points Gifts of Chaos. Of course, he can have all the little toys that the other one's going to have, including demon mounts and such. So that's pretty much of the basic units and characters and stuff. As for the rest of the book, we have the Dread Art. We have 3 lores of magic. Excuse me. We have the lore of Slaanesh. Not too shabby. I'm not going to go super, super in depth on these. Lore of Nurgle, which I think is better. I can't understand why anyone want to play Nurgle. I think it's like gross and stuff, but some of the spells are pretty cool. But they're higher casting values for their work. But it's the one everyone's talking about. It's Lore of Znich. Tesnitzinch. However you want to pronounce it. If anyone's got the proper, email it back to me with a little audio clip or something and tell me how to pronounce it. I've always pronounced it Tesnitzinch, but I could be wrong. Probably am wrong. But this is what everyone's talking about. Infernal Gateway. This is a huge spell. It's affecting everyone in the basically tournament scenes because they're basing these armies based on what other people play. So they got like this army, it's called the Gateway Army. So basically it's going to have these standard army elements that everyone's going to have if they're considered a Gateway Army. And it was just like, I understand people want to win and stuff, but it seems like magic when you got people copying people's decks. And it's like, oh, I'm going to play, you know, this deck, and everyone's got this deck because they just looked online and bought it. This sports reminds me of the Gateway Army. But the Infernal Gateway spell, cast in a 15. You pick an enemy unit. If that enemy unit is within 24 inches of the caster, it takes 2d6 strength of 2d6. It's pretty significant. But we even go on to even something that's even more crazier. If an 11 or 12 is rolled for determining the spell's strength value, remove the target unit and the accompanying characters from play as is whisked away into the Chaos Realms. Holy crap, people. I mean, nothing's as nice as, you know, that's going to make your day go well. It's when you're running good, you've got a nice unit that's doing well on the battlefield. And this wizard that's hiding behind the woods, because this is not a line of sight spell, happens to get a lucky irresistible force and cast high enough on the value to make your, you know, 400, 600 point unit pop and go away. What the hell was Games Workshop thinking? That's all I gotta say. It does get bad because, of course, you know, Mark of the Gods, Tesnitzinch, or whatever you want to pronounce it, they get +1 attempt to cast spells. When you have the mark, you also get a 6+ ward save, and if you have a ward save, it gets better by +1. So, and then, you know, all the third eyes, all the Tesnitzinch gifts, and the magic items benefit everything. For the rest of the marks, though, Mark of Nurgle, enemy unit targeting model, Mark of Nurgle, is a -1 to hit for shooting and attacks, and -1 weapon skill within base contact. Not better than what I thought they were going to do with Mark of Nurgle. I believe it was in the past a +1 toughness. Get so sick of just a +1 toughness. It's not even funny. So I'm glad they switched it up a little bit. Mark of Khorne hasn't changed. Model or unit subject to frenzy. And Mark of Slaanesh, which I I think this was the same thing from the Storm of Chaos. A model with the mark of Celestia's Immune to Fear, Terror, and Panic. That's pretty good. So it makes people want to play some, you know, some Slaanesh. I think that's the cooler army out of the Chaos Gods, but that is, like I said, my opinion. As for as models go, the army looks nice. I'm not going to lie to you. The lords are nice. Of course, Archaon is Archaon. Everyone should know what he looks like by now. Wulfric the Wanderer, really good looking model. He's just really cool looking. I can't say enough. Prince Sigvald the Magnificent, like I said, reminds me of Prince Charming a little bit, but a really good model. The new Chaos Lord, really sweet looking. Chaos Dragon, I think it's basically the same. You got your lords on their little, you got Slaanesh Lord on a demonic mount, and Lord on the disc, and they're basically the same that's happened in the last editions. They just remade them. The new Demon Prince, though, I think as for right now, he's not out, but he's a pretty beefy, scary-looking thing. I think he even looks cooler and more vicious than the Bloodthirster. So, I could see why people would play it, as for the way the model looks. Chaos Warriors didn't change from the last edition in looks, but they are a fantastic model as well. And from experience of painting some, because I did play the Slaanesh Dark Elf Army in the last edition, so I did have some Chaos Warriors. So they put together nicely, and they paint together just the same. Chosen look a little crazy to me. They look like Chaos Warriors with some extra pieces. So, meh. Marauders are the same. They basically look like your Vikings, though. Marauder Horsemen is the big change. New models, really good looking. Horses look great. Riders look great. Chaos Knights, I believe they got new ones, but I'm not sure. But they look fantastic as well. Hell Cannon, eh. I got low opinion of Hell Cannon, so. Chaos Spawn, look about the same. The Giant is a giant. The Chaos Warhounds look like dire wolves. The Dragon Ogre Shoggoth. Wow. Same model. Beautiful piece. I recommend anyone to get it. Dragon Ogres look silly as heck. They look like the old school ogres that Games Workshop used to do with Cold One bodies, and they look silly and cartoonish. The Trolls look a lot better. They look somewhat in between a troll and I'm not going to say it. They kind of look a little bit like a Croxagore on some of the models. But they're pretty cool. The ogres, cartoonish as well. We get to the big old big two tusks, big large jaw, Viking horns. Very cartoonish. Doesn't really fit the look of the rest of the army. So that's pretty much my review of the army. Overview of Chaos of Warriors. A lot of different things you can do to it. You can flavor the army out well. Like I'm going to do a Viking army. Probably make it. I probably will pick one of the Chaos Gods for Mark and everything. But for which one, I have no idea. I'm probably going to run a giant. I'm going to base it. I was thinking about running a Shoggoth. Using a different model. And basically have a giant. So say it like a giant Thor. Avatar of Thor with Thunderhammer, because he's, you know, follows from the storm rage and stuff. And other than that, the army book has a large scope of things you could do with it. Nice tough units, good leadership, and I don't think it has to really revolve too much around magic if you don't want it to. Even though, like I said, it's a popular thing to see a gateway list out there that's basically magic heavy. We didn't even go over the magic items or chaos gifts because we'd be here forever. Well, anyway, we're going to have a word for one of our sponsors, and we'll be back with a Space Hulk review.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Let me start off with saying first, I still suck at recording and editing. I'm having a heck of a time with everything, and like I said, hopefully it gets better. But I just want to post my frustration with Audacity and my ability to comprehend it right now. So let's go into Space Hawk. What is Space Hawk, you'll ask? Well, Space Hawk is a 40K man versus alien in the Desperate Battle board game. First of all, it's a beautiful box. We're looking at it. Good quality, nice pictures, full of color, hundreds of macaronis on. And you're thinking to myself, what in the heck will I spend $100 on a board game for? And let me tell you, although I may not 100% agree with the price, but I do agree with the quality. The game is fantastically put together. Let's start there. There's been older editions. First and second edition of Space Hawk did not interest me in the least. Had the old school crappy looking Terminators. It looked like they just took something. Like say, hell, let's have some figures from our Space Marine range and some figures from our Tyranid range and put them on some cheap cardboard and throw them out there for $60. That's not the case in this game. This game here, I'd recommend to anybody, even if you don't even play 40K. I'm filtering through the plastic pieces right now. I've actually had two copies, one that I put together, so I can actually say that I put together and show you what it looks like, or at least tell you what it looks like, and one that's still on sprues right now, so I can walk through and explain to you guys what you can see when you open the box. First thing I come across is a red sprue of Terminators. At first appearance, they look like all these are just regular Warhammer 40K Terminators, which basically they are, but each one is formed in their own unique pose, and it gives them the quality of a special character. Each Terminator in this game has its own pose, has different detail on him, different weaponry, different actions, faces. Good job. That's all I gotta say. As for a plastic miniature, these Terminators are sweet. And for any Blood Angel players out there, if you do not have this, I'd recommend you getting it, because yes, you can use these Terminators in your games of 40K, and this will give you an entirely sweet ass looking unit of Terminators to run in your 40K games. I can't express the amount of respect I have for these miniatures, and I'm not a fan of Terminators, let me tell you that, but you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 Terminators, it looks like. 10 Terminators in this box set, and if we're to base these around Games Workshop prices, I think 10 Terminators might cost you $35 or more. I mean, for 5 even. So $100 just seems to be a little bit less by opening that up if you want them for the Terminators. Second thing we got is 3 large sprues. Well, we got another small sprue of accessory pieces, little objectives, and it also comes with a librarian. I mean, so that just boosts it right up there. You get a special character if you want to use these in a 40K game. If you want to use them just as a board game, they're just extremely nice pieces and essential to the game. Next is 3 dark blue sprues. They have these little pieces that hold the doors, no big deal. But in it, we have a slew, I do mean a slew, of individualistic, individually posed. Look, I have Terminator skull type helmets in my hand, gene stealers. They are popping up from the ground, they're hanging from the rafters. I mean, these things are sweet. And these aren't models that you can get with your Tyranid army. So the fact that they actually expanded their view on the game itself to give you something unique that doesn't just look like it just came out of the crap that they're already producing to make more money anyway is fantastic. Plus, it comes with the Broodlord as a special character in one of the scenarios, kind of like the Librarian. And like I said, these things are amazingly awesome. I'm going to paint these up, and I'm going to have these on the site one day. But as we can see, I was excited about painting one Skaven this week, so we'll see how good that goes. More into the box, we have some standard D6 dice. Kind of look like they came from the Fantasy Edition box set for the rule book, but hey, what do you do? Do you think they'd be a little bit more futuristic looking? We could throw like some clear green plastic dice out there so they look interesting. But second of all is on the fact that they did these awesome miniatures, and we're going to get to awesome board. They put in a very standard hourglass that looks like one of your kids would get when they're brushing their teeth. Now, this is a 3-minute hourglass, and it's basically there to represent the time limit that the Space Marines have in their turn, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I think they could have done something a little bit more 40k-ish. I'm not asking for nothing digital, but oh well, I got some Cities of Death Train, so I'm going to spruce up my hourglass anyway so it looks more to fit. As we're going through the box, we got a bunch of markers. Now, these markers are on probably about a millimeter, 2 millimeter thick hard cardboard. Double-sided, very nice. Full color. We have some flame templates. We have individual markers to represent Space Marine deployment, Terminid deployment, ladders, vents, Overwatch, guarded, blips, Terminid blips, psychic powers. I mean, just looking at this right now, if I was not know anything about this game, I would say, wow, this is nice looking so far, and these pieces are really intriguing me, and I can't wait to read the rules so I can see what the heck they are. Further in the box, we have a buttload of hard plastic cards. Within these cards are pop-out pieces of floor design and hallways that you'll put in specified designations as per what scenario you're going to play, to represent the inside of a Space Hulk, which is a giant lumbering space vehicle that's just floating through space. It's kind of like if you watch Aliens or something, and they're checking out this ship because there was life signs on it. It was one of their ships, and they're trying to figure out what happened. It's kind of like supposed to be the whole science fiction horror theme. These card pieces, congratulations, Games Workshop. I don't know who else created this, but knowing what things cost in the 40k world and what pieces you get for everything, $100 right now isn't seeming so bad. Although, I'd still be happy with $75, but who wouldn't like to save a buck, huh? Well, anyway, these tile pieces, they went a little extra step with them. Now, they could have won a little bit more, but they didn't. But they are one-sided, which I think they could have been two. That would be an extra step. They could have had one be like an alien design, like an Eldar ship or a Tau ship. But these pieces have an indented pressing on it that kind of gives the pieces a kind of like a 3D look. And the high gloss, I mean, not too shabby. I mean, when I opened this up, I was like, wow, this game is going to look pretty interesting. I'm a big Necromunda fan. I used to play Necromunda. And this got me excited because, you know, you got the walkways and stuff. Better quality in a Necromunda. So hopefully in the future, we might see a new Necromunda box set with pieces of such high quality. Last piece in there, amongst the tons of doorways and floor plans, is what looks like a computer screen. Now this, looking at it to begin with, I'm like, what the hell is this? Further along, we'll go into game rules right now. This represents the turn. On it, it has what turn you've gotten. It goes into ammo of your assault cannon. How many command points your commander has per turn. And it is the Gene Stealer's responsibility to control this. So they can actually tell and keep track of what the Space Marine's doing. Now, what's nice is that the Space Marine player has a command value that they pull randomly out of a cup and they put it on the thing. If they're close to winning, if they, in my opinion, how I've played it this last week, is if the Space Marine player happens to win by objective, where it says immediately if the Space Marine player wins, even though he went past his command points, he wins. But if the Space Marine player didn't pull it off and the command points were revealed where the Space Marine was lying and using extra command points to get things done and doesn't pull through with the objective, the Gene Stealer wins. That's how I played it, and it seemed pretty cool. As for you get a mission pack or book, which is a scenario book, which is full color. Well, for the most part, all the battle plans and stuff. The overview of your Space Marines as well as your Tyranids. And in this mission book, there is 12 different missions. And they have the layout, plan layouts of the floors that you adjust your plans to, entry points and stuff like that. And those are the levels of Spacehawk that you're playing on. Looks pretty nice for all you who know what Hero Quest is. Similar, kind of cool feeling to it, that. The scenarios are well thought out. And they're I've only played the one three times, the first scenario, but it was really fun. As for the models to begin with, let's start with the fact that you don't have to paint them. And you don't even need glue. They do snap together, and you can play with them right out of the box. And that, in fact, makes this a true board game and not a miniature war game, is what I would call. The rules, very simple. We don't even have to worry about really what is Terminator armor, how does it affect the Terminators, what do the Gene Stealers need to hit. This is a board game based on 40K. This is not a 40K made into a board game. I want to stress that to everyone, because I played 40K. I play 40K. And I've played against Gene Stealers, and I played with Terminators. And this has nothing to do, nothing at all to do with 40K. And that's what truly is remarkable, which can even get your wife to play this. And it's regarded as a board game. I mean, heck, I even had my son play it, too. He loved it, like playing the Space Marines. He wouldn't give the Tyranids a try because the Space Marines had guns. And, well, I don't really blame him. It's a quick read, the rule book. It's not that shabby. The rules are quick. The damages are quick. It's got Overwatch. It's got a little review of the weapons, which really don't do too much outside the flame template, the assault cannons and lightning claws, opening doors. But what I think is the most, what the coolest part of the game is the Tyranid blips. I've never played Spacehawk before. Like I said, I never picked it up because it didn't enthuse me at all, because it just looked like crap in my opinion. But this one, just looking at the back of the box, I was just like, holy shit, excuse my language again, but this is a fantastic looking game. I have to try it. Plus, since I started this podcast, I wanted to bring it to you guys and have some information to review. But the Tyranid blips, there's these blips that if anyone who's ever seen Aliens sit there and they have the thumping scanners on their guns, and they're like boom, 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 you know, and they're showing the blips of, you know, something's out there, but they don't know what it is. These blips are exactly that. They have their own little movement that's kind of the same but different than the rest of the army. They move around, and until they're revealed, they're just blips. But once they're revealed, you turn them over, and Space Marine player doesn't know, you know, how many is there. It could be one or whatever. But turn them over, it's got a number on it. And that's how many Gene Stealers you put in the hallway or the room or something. So they're revealed and they can attack and such. This game is Aliens. That's all I got to say. Aliens. Aliens 2. The one with Bill Paxton. The good one. Not none of the other crap that they've put out. I had fun with this game. I'm not particularly good at it. But, you know, it's a regular board game, but it is fun. I recommend, if you have a chance to get it, people. There is limited quantities. They're not saying they're going to produce any more, and I happen to believe them because they screwed me over on the 40K battle map. That's a whole different story for another day. I've not been able to get it. But if you have a chance to get this and sitting at your local hobby store and you're saying, oh, I don't know if I should get it, trust me, you will enjoy it. You can play it with your kids. Some of you might look at me and say, what the hell is this guy playing crap like this with his kids? Wait until we do the Warriors on the Chaos and Old World review. Then you can give me that. But you can play with your kids, you can play with your wife, you can play with someone who doesn't even know anything about 40K, and it might even give them a little bit of an inkling idea, like, I had fun with that, and, well, I can't get that no more, but you know what? I can buy these Terminators, and you can sell that, so you can get a new buddy or a wife that will play with you. And trust me, my wife, she doesn't play 40K with me, but she plays fantasy in these board games, and she's my best friend. And, you know, guys out there that got that, or girls that got that really special other, you know, if they take part in your hobby and they take a little bit of time with you and stuff that you enjoy and you find dear, it is very special. Even if your kids can do this, I mean, it's just to share your interests with others, even if it's not even a full 40K interest, but the pieces are there and in your mind you're still playing it, I recommend it. Pick it up. Don't let it go to waste. I'm going to do a, I might do a, like a little live feed talk through about playing a game of this soon coming up. I don't think my walk through of telling you what's in the box did it justice at all. So I do apologize, but I get two thumbs up on this game. Like I said, I've been a little bit happier with $75, but knowing how much 40K stuff costs, $100, I guess, does justify the price, and it is Games Workshop. We know they are pricey. And I just want to leave it at that. No, I'm not. I'm going to leave it at that. I am working on it. They're not going to do any expansion or anything, but I am working on an expansion for this. I like taking games that Games Workshop does and adding my own little flavor, make a little rule book and stuff. So my idea that I was going to do is I was going to use Cadians, Imperial Guard, and the Space Marines. I was going to not give them any close combat attack. I could still keep a lot of elements. But I love aliens. And that's just it. So I want to make a Space Hulk version using Cadians to try represent someone who's not a big beefy hand-to-hand. Give them maybe another couple squad members where two can fire at the same time. And have aliens type view of the Space Hulk. And I'll throw that out there once I get it all done. If anyone wants to download it to play it with their Space Hulk game. And I just like to say, you know, that's that. I mean, the Chaos Warrior book, good book. Space Hulk, good game. And I'd like to thank you all for joining me today. I hope, hopefully, except for all the ums, that this is a better show than the first. And it'll get better and better. As soon as I get enough money to buy another microphone, I'm going to have guests on the show, different people to come out and help. You know, I'm talking about if I have money, I just spend a good chunk of money on Magic and Clone Wars this weekend. But, oh well. We'll have guests soon. And anyone got any ideas, contact me. My email address is seanhammer9@yahoo.com. I'd like to thank you for listening today. Have a good weekend, and I'll be back with episode 3 pretty soon. If all goes right, I'll be going over the 40K Space Wolf Codex. It may not. I might do it randomly on another board game or so. Until that time comes, I did buy Talisman, which I played one game and did not finish, but it was a pretty fun game, completely board game and not Warhammer. And I also bought Chaos of the Old World, which I tried to make it through two games and with my three kids, and they're getting the hang of it, but I need an adult to play with it to give it a fair chance, and hopefully this week that'll happen. Another nice game put out by Fantasy Flight. Anyway, I'm going to leave you with the Ray Gun Girls again. I really like that song, and if anyone's opposed to me putting it at the end of every podcast, just go ahead and let me know. I'll probably switch it up a little bit. I found a site that gives you safe podcast music, and there's a lot of good bands out there, so I might be experimenting with putting random music in breaks here and there. Well, until next time, you have a good weekend. Have a good listen. I hope I was entertaining. And maybe I'll come up with a catchy end phrase. Later.